Welcome to Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast dedicated to spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. From the prequels to the sequels to every Disney Plus spinoff they want to throw at us, we're here to celebrate any time we get to spend in our favorite galaxy together, and we want you to come along for the ride. I'm David Wren, joined by my bro hosts Dennis, Kyle, and Matt. We invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy our fully armed and operational podcast.
And this is Jawa Jabber.
Hello there, Star Wars fans, and welcome to another new episode of Jawa Jabber. I am your supreme leader, David Wren, and I am joined by my best friends and bro hosts, Kai Nobi.
Hello there.
And Matt, the radar technician.
After a little ways away, I'm excited to have some real talk with some real good folks.
What's going on, everybody? I know, it never, right? It's like we don't even have to, change it up. Like, it just works. It just works. What's going on, guys? How are you?
Not too bad. Glad to be here.
Yeah, right?
Glad to be here also.
Good. Yeah, it's been a little while, but that's all right. You know, we're going to get on a more steady schedule, and then everything's going to be fantastic. So we're going to start off tonight with, unfortunately, some sad news in the fandom. About a week ago, one of our favorite actors, Carl Weathers, unfortunately became one with the Force. And I know me personally, I got to meet him in London last year when I was hanging out with Sam. And he kind of walked by and got to say hi and shake his hand and stuff. And that was really cool. And I got to tell him, that I liked his work and his directing and all that stuff with Mando. And that I'm actually from the Philadelphia area, but I had no idea that he was in Rocky at first, and he just kind of laughed at me, and it was a fun moment. It was kind of cool, but just acknowledging the passing of one of our Star Wars greats, and it's really sad because he had such an enthusiasm for Star Wars, especially the last couple of years since Mando. Like, I remember in Chicago in 2019, him hyping up the crowd and stuff like that, and yeah, I don't know. You guys have anything you want to say about Carl?
Well, first of all, to keep it light, Dave, did you just say you were from West Philadelphia, born and raised?
On the playground is where I spent most of my days, yes. Absolutely.
To touch on Carl, he's truly an auteur, and I love that he got to step behind the camera for Mando. I'm sure that was incredibly special to him and his family, and from season two, you can hear so many of the cast members just love working with him behind the camera. And I think that's incredibly special for an actor to be able to do that, because it means you truly understand your craft when you can do it both in front of and behind the camera. But I think my first experience watching Carl Weathers was Happy Gilmore. I watched that movie.
That's right. Happy Gilmore. How can I forget about Happy Gilmore?
I was probably five when I watched that. It was before I ever saw him in anything else, and he's obviously an incredible movie star, but I think I associated him with comedy, and I liked that was my my first experience with Carl on the screen.
Yeah, that was a great role, and even though my mom hated that movie, I remember when it came out, I watched it so many times because it was just really funny. Matt, you've got some Carl stories, right? Like, you've met him a couple times at conventions, right? With Lincoln?
Yeah, he was great in Happy Gilmore, but I definitely first knew him as Apollo. Like, I love the Rocky movies growing up. And so when he got announced for Mando and we saw him at Celebration Chicago, I wish I would have gone to the panel. I had the panel, the ticket or the QR code or whatever to get in the panel, and I had a photo op at the same time, so I passed on going to the panel, and I kind of regret it. And I remember watching the panel at the live stage, and I just remember him coming out on stage, and everybody starts cheering, Apollo! And he immediately just starts busting out, "I want you! I want you! I want you!" And he's pointing at the crowd, and the crowd's just going nuts. And I was like, oh man, this is great. Star Wars this is great for Star Wars, you know, like his just his enthusiasm all around. And I remember him admitting in that panel that he really, I don't think, you know, he wasn't like into Star Wars or anything. He just, it was a role he happened to take. And I think it was out of respect for Jon Favreau and Jon Favreau recruiting him. But you can tell he clearly enjoyed and just dove into his time with Mandalorian and Star Wars. And so, yeah, Lincoln and I got to meet him. It would have been like a year and a half ago at Fan Expo Chicago. And Lincoln obviously knows him from Toy Story, which I didn't, you know, he educated me on that. I didn't realize he was Combat Carl in Toy Story, which it's funny because the character directly reflects Carl, you know, like he looks like him, he sounds like him, his name is Combat Carl, and he's intense. And so we had a Toy Story poster to get signed, and, you know, Lincoln walked up to him, and Lincoln automatically starts saying what some of the sayings Combat Carl says. And Carl Weathers, I think, asked him, he was like, "What does Combat Carl say?" And Lincoln started to say it, and he said, "Yep, you got it. Combat Carl never gives up. Combat Carl never, or always finds a way." And he signed that on his poster for him, and it was a really, really great interaction. Like, you could just tell he loves, like, fans, but especially the kids. And he had, like, these pre-signed cards of Combat Carl that he gave Lincoln, that he was giving out to the kids. So you could tell he had, like, a little bit of a love for that, you know, that role too, is just even as a voice actor. So I thought it kind of showed another side of Carl that I wasn't expecting. So it was hard to hear, because ironically we were at MegaCon in line to meet a celebrity there a week ago when we heard the news and someone told us, and it was just kind of a gut punch, I think, especially given where we were. I heard it and I was like, holy cow, you know, no way. It was hard to hear.
That's right. You guys were at the convention when the news came out. Yeah. Yeah. That must have been a strange feeling, being somewhere where, you know, Carl went to these conventions and he loved meeting the fans and all that stuff. So yeah, that has to be a little, yeah, but I don't know. So I almost hate asking this question, but, you know, with the news of the Mando movie and, you know, the potential of season 4 and all that stuff, are we gonna see Greef Karga, or is he just gonna kind of be off screen? Like, what do you guys think is gonna happen? Like, kind of with that, because I know he wasn't like a main character, but he was, you know, he was a heavy recurring character who was obviously, and I mean, Mando and Grogu live on his planet now, so
yeah, I think this is a little different than the Baylan situation where they don't really need to recast Greef. I think they can just
right
off screen say he's doing this or doing that. And I didn't anticipate much of season 4 or the movie, because we don't have confirmation if we're getting season 4 still or not. But
right, yeah, it could the movie.
I didn't foresee that having a lot of Greef in any way. I assume he probably would have had one episode where he would have directed it. But I was assuming it'd be a lot more ragtag adventure, kind of like a serial setup like the first season.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think
they didn't film anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I think they would. He would have popped in like in an episode here or there, but it with a movie though, depending on where a lot of the movie took place, he could have played a bigger role. I mean, you will never know. I mean, I think right, it's definitely challenging though, because it's probably, especially with like Cara Dune gone, he was one of kind of the characters left from like, you know, the beginning of Mando's journey. So I think he still would have been involved.
Yeah, so that's true.
You know, I'm not sure how they. I don't know. I mean, I guess a recast is always possible, but
yeah. But I agree with Kyle though. I don't, like, with Baylan and Ahsoka season 2 and everything. Like, there's so much story. Like, they were setting him up for such a big story, it seemed like, that, like a recast is almost necessary. And, you know, with this character, you know, yes, it's terrible that we're not going to see him again, but I kind of agree with Kyle, the way that TV works, the way with stuff like that, like, he can be off on his little adventures, and maybe they don't need to recast him, you know? Like, they can get away without doing it.
Yeah, they could always do the Carrie Fisher thing, too. I mean, if they have unused, scenes that they filmed, like, they could plug in some of those, but, you know, obviously it all depends on what they have. And if it even would work, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean that is a possibility. I don't necessarily think they might go that route, but I have trust in Dave. In Dave Filoni, we trust. Yeah. Speaking of people that we don't trust, how about Empire Magazine? I will never trust the people at Empire Magazine again. And not only because I pre-ordered that Ahsoka issue back in July or whenever it was with that really awesome cover with her at the ruins or whatever. And I swear I never got it. Like, I know that I order way too much stuff and I can't keep track of it and I don't have room and yada, yada, yada. But I swear I never received my pre-ordered Ahsoka magazine, because when I went to pre-order what we're about to talk about, I was thinking to myself, I said, wait, I don't think I ever got the Ahsoka one, because I definitely never read it, and I wanted that cover. But yes, the Empire magazine, which we should have known by the name, you know? I mean, it's called Empire Magazine, so, like, doesn't that automatically make you less trustworthy? Like, I'm not saying that there's not good people in the Empire, but, you know.
I mean, it might make you more trustworthy if you're a fan of just good, solid, foundational government.
Well, that's very true, Kyle. You know, like, yeah, you're not wrong, but
you know, they really do. I was gonna say they really do get some good interviews and solid, like,
oh, sure,
like, you know, like, great specific publication. Well, I mean, it gets like very specific things from Lucasfilm for Star Wars. Like, they've had some great stuff through the years.
They do,
but
yes.
But right. I gotta admit, I was duped too. I thought it was gonna be one thing, and it was not. Well, and then, I should have known better too.
Well, and that, you know, it's funny because I was thinking that, and then because, well, all right. So for our listeners who might be under a rock, early last week, I don't know if it was Tuesday or Wednesday. It was one of those days. Empire Magazine put out a picture of a starfield, and it just said, "Hello there." And it said, "Announcement coming at 4 p.m. tomorrow." And of course, you know, we ignited the group chat and, you know, fanboys of the world unite. And, you know, we were freaking out. Like, is this Ahsoka season 2? Is this, you know, it's probably not Mando news because, you know, it's got to be something Kenobi related. Holy crap. It's Kenobi season 2. He was just at WonderCon saying, hey, everybody tell Disney we want season 2 and yada, 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 yada. So, like, you know, we're freaking out. And then the next day, Kyle's like, oh, yeah, by the way, it's UK time. So we're going to get it at like 11 a.m. And it's like, oh, all right, cool. Because I was thinking, well, I'll be taking a nap at 4 o'clock and I'll have to set an alarm and, you know, wake up for the news or whatever. And then sure enough, the time comes and it is a issue of Empire Magazine, which, you know, it's a magazine, so it's not surprising that it's something magazine related. And it is a celebration of the 25 years of the prequel trilogy, specifically starting with The Phantom Menace in 1999, and I have never felt older in my entire life. But that's a story for another time. So the big announcement was that they're doing this, you know, feature magazine, and they're going to have all new interviews with Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman and Liam Neeson and Ian McDiarmid and, you know, all these actors that we know and love. And but God, that tease, like, they know how to get Star Wars fans riled. Like, it's crazy when you think back at it, but like I was so excited, and like I remember telling you guys, and I'm like telling random customers, I'm like, oh yeah, we're getting Kenobi season 2, woohoo, look, here's the evidence, yada yada yada. And it's like, yeah, no, it's just a magazine, burp burp burp. So yeah, I don't know, did you guys share a similar story? Like, I mean, I know we were all excited.
I definitely thought it was, well, I mean, my first thought was, oh, holy cow, Kenobi season 2. But then the more I thought about it, like, that night, I was like, one, Ewan was just at MegaCon, like, telling the crowd, like, saying, you know, begging them, if you want season 2, you gotta write Lucasfilm, which I doubt he would have been doing that if it was gonna get announced less than a week later. But two, like, I don't think like a movie or show announcement has ever come directly from like a magazine publication. Like, it's always, I mean, it might be leaked by something, but like an actual announcement always comes from Lucasfilm. So then that made me kind of think, nah, it's probably not as much as I would have liked it to be a Kenobi season 2, I think, announcement, you know.
That's a good point. I mean, I think there was a time when those type of announcements would have been in a magazine. Like, I'm thinking back to when Disney bought Lucasfilm, and there was that Entertainment Weekly cover story where they said that they were going to move forward with the sequel trilogy and all that stuff. Like, I feel like that was maybe, like, a feature in a magazine, like, kind of like an exclusive. And then, of course, once it's published, it goes all over the internet and whatever. But, like, nowadays, like, you know, you spend $1 billion for a 30-second teaser trailer during the Super Bowl, and the trailer says, hey, watch the whole trailer online, which I still, like, I mean, it's genius because I guess they save money in that way because they're not paying for, like, a 2-minute commercial and they're paying for 30 seconds, but I don't know, it's a little frustrating. It's like, here, if you want to know the whole thing, watch online. But that's not what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, and
here.
I do wonder
so,
how, like, if
yeah,
it
Kyle,
really
what
pans
were your
out
thoughts?
For them, because you got to figure,
see,
you're spending the money
hoping
to advertise to, like, advertise to the general public, right? The broader audience that you need to, like, probably get to come to the movie to really, really make a lot of money. And the people that you're relying on to click through and to go find the trailer, are they going to be just the people who really want to see the trailer, you know, that are fans already?
So sure.
That's like, you know, are they kind of wasting money by not showing the full trailer to, like, pull in the audience, the extended audience that they need to? But I kind of wondered that last night myself, but
yeah. It's a decent thought, definitely. Kyle, what about you with Empire Magazine?
Yeah, so I don't know. As much as I wanted it to be Ahsoka season 2 or Kenobi 2 related, Empire's not one to post something unless they have on-set stills. So my first reaction was obviously the Acolyte. And I really thought it was. Like, I was fully expecting to open it up and it just be a spread about the Acolyte. Because the timeline is kind of getting there. Like, I feel like by April, because the show should come out in August at the latest.
Right, like in the same April, timeline that Ahsoka was, right?
Yeah, so, which will be crazy that it'll be a year since we've had the last live-action show by then, but
yeah, right?
I mean, by April, we should probably have an Empire spread, if not May, but okay. Even on Twitter, like, the Acolyte was trending. Like, people were really, really thinking it was going to be Acolyte-related. And that's a show they're going to need to market well in advance. Like, it can't bank off of the Mando hype, whether it's affiliated with Boba Fett or Ahsoka or the Kenobi hype. Like, this is a brand new show. They need to start marketing this. And
brand
like
new
characters.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah,
none of these characters.
Brand new characters.
Books.
Yeah.
And not even in the same time period of anything anybody's, like, most of the general audience hasn't seen or heard of. Like, it's what, is it 100 years before the prequel trilogy?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like the High Republic era, which I get, like, the book series is done well, but it's a pretty niche part of the fandom. So if you want to like appeal to the rest of the fandom and beyond, yeah, I would think they'd have to start advertising pretty heavily for it here soon. And you would think almost like more than they would have needed to for Mando, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. So we will see, but yeah, I really thought it was Acolyte related. As much as I love the prequels, just like you, Dave, I was kind of disappointed
right,
with the way they drew a pipe for that. So, yeah, we'll see.
The one thing I wasn't disappointed about, which I think you guys would agree, is some of the photos we've gotten so far from that magazine spread. Specifically, of course, you know, the Hayden photo that mimics the episode one teaser poster. Like, you know, it's got his head kind of turned, and it's like it's got the Vader shadow on it. I saw that photo and I was like, yes. Actually, Matt, I think I texted you and I'm like, this is the one I should have Hayden sign.
Yeah, it looks like a Vader professional modeling photo or something.
I mean,
like...
it does, but that's okay.
It looks awesome.
Nothing's wrong with that, you know.
And now I'm sucking you down the autograph hole.
Yes,
oh,
you are.
Oh my gosh.
We're gonna talk about that in a little bit.
That photo looks signed.
it would look really good signed. I'm thinking in a, well, I don't know, what color paint pen would I use? Because it's a black and white photo, Matt. So what would you recommend?
Black on black or white on white?
Okay.
I'm kidding, obviously. I don't know.
He just went for the most illegible autograph of all time, and been like, oh my god, Matt,
uh-huh.
I love this. It's so cool.
Uh-huh. As Matt goes, so goes my nation. So, like, you know, it's like I would follow him into the depths of Mustafar, and, you know, it's like, all right, sure, black on black, let's do this. Yeah. Wow.
Actually, yeah, the opposite would be perfect. Either on the white or the white on the black.
Or the white on the black. And that's the thing. Like, where do I get it? So, like, I'm thinking in the white shadow of it. Like, you know, because the Vader shadow is, like, black. So, like, probably in the white part. And then, so, like, black, you know, a signature or something. But I don't know. We'll jump off that bridge when we come to it. So, you know,
we've got time.
we have time. We have about another month. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, no, so the big hype that was announced with that, is the episode one re-release, starting May 3rd, which is a Friday, so it'll be May the 4th weekend, and we all know how much David loves May the 4th, and I know you all do too, but, you know, I take off work, and it's, you know, all the customers know it's my high holy day, and I always have something planned going on, and... you know, whatever. This year, we'll be doing something at one of our listeners, our dear friend Robert. His store's going to be up and running, and we're going to do a whole May 4th thing, and that's going to be fantastic. We'll talk more about that in another episode. But, you know, I know I'm going to plan on seeing episode one in theaters. It'll actually be, I want to say, the fourth or fifth time I've seen it in theaters, because I saw the 3D release back in 2012. I know I saw that. And that was back when they were going to do the whole trilogy. Like, they were actually, I think they were going to do all six, if I remember correctly. They were going to do all six in 3D. And I hate 3D, but, you know, it was Star Wars on the big screen, so I had to go. So, Kyle, since you were like a fetus the last time that episode one was in theaters, you're going to go see it, right?
Yeah, I'm dying to see it, actually. So I was 9 months old when it came out. So
I was
didn't see it.
I was pretty close.
Yeah,
I was pretty close.
Yeah, it was post-fetus. But yeah, so...
I'm sorry, post-fetus Kyle.
The phantom fetus, if you will. Anyway, that's enough for now.
Yes! Oh my god, that is your new nickname. The Phantom Fetus. Oh, but my anyway, god. Yes.
That's neither here nor there. I'm dying to see it. Yeah. So it's the only I hate you guys.
No, you don't. You love us and you know it.
It's the only prequel I haven't seen in theaters. So yeah, I'm really excited to see it. I didn't get to see Return of the Jedi last year. I mean, we were all coming back from London. I think I was just kind of burnt out on it all, but yeah, I cannot wait to see it. I can't wait to see the Duel of the Fates on the big screen. I'm gonna mm-hmm. flip out.
We're gonna be that meme. You know that meme where it's like the sportscasters or whatever, and they
Joe Rogan and them when
that's gonna be
that'll be us.
That'll be us. Because I remember that moment when I was a kid, like, and I remember seeing the trailer for it, and like, you know, like they kind of revealed it in the trailer. They revealed the double lightsaber, but like. Yeah. On the screen with the music, and it was so cool. It was awesome. I'm excited to see it now, like now that my fandom is like, you know, way overboard. Like not that I wasn't back in 1999, you know, young little 14-year-old David, and yes, now you can figure out my age, but like, I don't know, I'm excited. Matt, are you gonna take Lincoln to see it?
I'm hoping to. I just hope it's at a theater closer than what I remember the Return of the Jedi one being at, because that one was that one that was like at least almost like 2 hours away. And like Kyle, I think I was just kind of burnt out like after we got back from London, so I didn't go to see it. But and I kind of wish I would have, because Return of the Jedi is Lincoln's favorite Star Wars movie. But I'm kind of hoping. I'm guessing it'll be similar. They'll probably be at all the same theaters. Like, I can't imagine it's going to be a bigger release than the Return of the Jedi 40th anniversary. But then again, if they're, I guess it depends on how much they hype it. If they're doing this whole magazine interview spread, and if they do more to hype it, then maybe it'll be a little bit more widespread. But I don't know. I'm hoping to go see it.
I mean, that beautiful poster by Matt Ferguson got me hyped. I mean, I love it. It's the background on my phone now, and I haven't changed my background on my phone since that Ahsoka poster came out, the one with the whole cast.
It is pretty beautiful.
It's great. Go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry. You'll have to cut that out.
No, it's okay. We're making fun of Kyle's age, and you're forgetting what you're saying. So
I had it in my head.
Jawa Jabber is back, everybody.
I had it in my head 30 seconds ago, and I forgot. So,
Matt, we're getting old. We can't all be like Kyle, you know? Like, you know, the these fresh young minds that, you know, can remember everything. You know, we have hard manual labor jobs that we do all day, and then, you know, we try and podcast late at night and we forget stuff. So what, Kyle?
Nothing. The fact that you're trying to compare your job to Matt's by saying you're both hard manual it was just a funny comparison that you just drew, Dave.
Why
Matt's
do you
climbing
say that?
Like 40-foot poles. And you're talking to your customers about Star Wars, and you're like trying to act like it's the same thing. I love it.
As I make them their energy fuel to get through their manual labor days. Yeah,
I mean, he is older than I am, so I'll give him that.
Oh God, by 3 years, it's not by much. Oh my God, I love it.
We're all pretty much the same age at heart, I think.
Oh, absolutely. 100% at heart. Yeah, definitely. That's why we get along. That's why we're brothers. That's why we get along so well.
Touche.
But yeah, no. So Matt, I know you were at MegaCon in Orlando. I want you to talk a little bit about that, because it's another convention. It's one of the bigger conventions, you were saying, and I can't lie, when I heard how many people were there, I kind of am glad that I wasn't there. just because I had a hard enough time in London with, you know, 60,000 people or however many was there. And, you know,
is that how many they ended up saying was at Celebration London?
No,
I think usually it averages around 70, right?
Right.
The U.S. celebration, yeah.
Right, I based that off of Anaheim's number, to be honest with you. I don't think they even said how many people were there. I'm not sure. I don't remember ever seeing anything about it.
Yeah, the only place I've usually seen convention numbers is actually, ironically, Wikipedia, and that's where I saw MegaCon's numbers from last year. And I don't, Kyle, do you know how many people go to San Diego Comic-Con every year?
I don't, do you?
I don't either, but...
Oh my god. That's one that I wanted to go to when I was younger, and I will never go to that now.
Well, the thing is now, like, Hall H is not what it used to be. I mean, Lucasfilm's not really there, Marvel's not really there. I don't know if DC was there, so... San Diego Comic-Con, it says 2022 they had 135,000.
Oh my god! See? The young guy, I'm pulling it up on my phone right now, and Kyle's already got the number. Jesus Christ.
Pass your fingers, good more job, tech Kyle. Savvy.
Yeah, So
I looked up MegaCon like a few months ago, and it said 160,000 people last year. And I thought, holy crap, like Celebration is 70 some, you know, in the US, and I've always thought that was pretty insane. So
I was gonna say that's almost 100,000 more.
Right. And I had already planned, like, and it's in the same hall too. So Orlando 2017 Celebration has 70,000 people. Well, MegaCon is in the same exact hall at Orange County Convention Center. And so when I was thinking that, I'm like, holy crap, like, what am I getting myself into? But I already committed to going pretty much. And
you did, so I'm like, yes, whatever. You kept trying to talk me into it. You're like, come on, you know you want to go. And I'm like, well, I do, but I don't. So,
yep.
Yeah.
So it was, it was crazy. You know, so the numbers I've heard since are 190,000 is how many people were there. And they are, like, from what everybody was talking about while we were there, it's obvious, well, and the numbers that Cal looked up show, it's the biggest convention now in the United States. It's bigger than San Diego Comic-Con. But, I thought there were so many celebrities announced. You know, I don't remember the total count of how many there were, but it just felt like those announcements just kept coming and coming and coming. There were so many, and, like, a lot of pretty big guests. There's like 20 some Star Wars guests that I counted, but I saw someone else that, and maybe they were counting some voice actors that I didn't know were involved in Star Wars possibly, and maybe they're counting some other mediums too. But I heard somebody say there was like 30 or 40 Star Wars involved guests there. Like, it was a massive autograph area, and I thought maybe that would help disperse people. It did not. The autograph lines were insane for everybody. Like, whether it was a voice actor or, you know, the headliners, like, it was crazy.
Well, yeah, how long did you wait for Hayden? Didn't you say you waited, like, a couple hours or something? Like,
Hayden's line got kind of, so we met Hayden, or we were supposed to meet Hayden Saturday, and his situation got kind of messed up because, well, I'm not exactly sure why, but I would guess it has a little bit to do with how Hayden's lines and Ewan's lines are handled, the difference. And I think Hayden, maybe he showed up late. I'm not sure. But, you know, obviously with, like, MegaCon, they don't have the commitments they have at Celebration of, like, doing a ton of back scene interviews and
true,
you know, like all the media commitment, like they don't have that stuff, you know, like basically they have their behind or their send in autographs they have to do, they have the panel, and then they have photo ops and autographs, and I feel like that's probably pretty much it. I don't think there's a whole lot of, you know, media fluff they have to do like they would at Celebration. But Ewan's line was like a conveyor, you know, you went through, it was fast, you got hardly any interaction, and Ewan, you know, he was friendly and nice, but he just went with it. Whereas Hayden's line, I don't think Hayden goes with it, and I don't think his team really pushes, like, forces him to do that. So we were supposed to meet him at 4 on Saturday, and we were there at like 4:30, and he hadn't even gotten through the people that were scheduled at 1:30 yet. So we were kind of, you know, I'm kind of thinking like, okay, he's got a panel at 6 o'clock. I'm like, how is this going to go? So they didn't make it through all the 1:30 people even before the panel. So they told all of us basically they were going to move his autograph area to a room on the fourth floor away, basically outside of the convention area, like basically past the, like, still in the convention hall, but past the exits and like the security and stuff. So we went up there and they moved it to 7:30. So after the panel, and I'm pretty sure by the amount of people that were up there, he had to have been signing till at least 9:30 or 10 o'clock, but I'll give him credit. Like you kind of expect, since they were so far behind and they moved us all upstairs, that they would have been pushing everybody through, breezing through stuff real fast, but it was not like that at all. Like, Hayden stopped, like, looked us in, you know, looked Lincoln in the eye. Of course, Lincoln had his Darth Vader costume on. He looked great. And Hayden was like, man, you look really good, dude. You know, like, you look awesome. Aww. You know, like, talked to him and chatted him up, and it was great. It was a good experience. So it was worth the wait. We didn't get out of there until probably 8:30, but and I was hoping that was the one night I was really hoping to be out of there by like 5, and it obviously did not happen. But like, that Saturday was just packed, like elbow to elbow people, like people, they walked through the place. It was insane.
That's awesome to hear though, that like, because that's been my experience with Hayden, like the couple times that I've met him, like that he takes the time and he talks to his fans, and, you know, even if there's thousands and thousands of people waiting to meet him, like, he makes you feel like you're special, you know, like, and that's, I know I'm a little biased because he's my favorite, but like, you know, they should all be that way. And a lot of them are, particularly the ones that I've met, like most of them, you know, act that way and whatever. And it's fantastic. It's just nice to, you know, all these years later, you know, that, like, he still obviously loves it, and he loves the fans, and that's what these conventions are about, like, meeting your heroes, yep. And meeting your best friends, and, you know, like,
yeah, he did the same stuff, he know? Did the, like, same thing, he did the same thing at MegaCon last year, I guess his line, and he did it when we saw him at a couple years ago, like, he went late, mm-hmm. and he stayed until he met every person he was supposed to meet, even though both That's those awesome. Other times it was past the convention closing time, like hours past. So he puts in the effort, like it's pretty cool. Have you gone through his autograph line, Kyle?
Hayden's, yeah, a couple times, not at MegaCon, but I mean, they must be paying him a boatload of money for him to go through that and stay late literally every single time, because that's one of the only Comic Cons that happens at.
I mean, it happened at C2E2 when Lincoln first met him, and it was the same kind of situation. Like, his line was like 4 hours long. Like, it was insane.
Jesus.
But I think part of it is because he is slow. Like, he actually is he's very like Ashley Eckstein. I mean, not as chatty as Ashley Eckstein. Probably not. I mean, he's not as talkative, but he's very, like, deliberate, you know, like, he'll take your item, sign it very deliberately, yeah. And slowly, you know, like, he mm-hmm. takes his time, yep. He makes sure it's good, he'll look you in the eye, talk to you, like, which, when you multiply that by a few thousand, or however many people that push it, like, that adds a lot of time, and he hasn't changed. The nice thing is he hasn't changed, which I think it's worth it. I mean, it's just, that's why it's right. worth meeting Ashley every time you see her. Like, you know, we saw her mm-hmm. again, and it was the second time Lincoln had got to meet her, and we walked up to her, and she looked at us, and she was like, I've met you guys before. And she's like, you're going to have to remind me your names. And so we did, and she was, like, so sweet to Lincoln, just, which is why, even though he's not, like, he's never watched a lot of Clone Wars, and I've got him to watch some of Rebels and stuff, but like, Ashley Eckstein in her role, you know, he doesn't have a huge connection to her necessarily, but she was like one of his top three people to meet there. Like, he wanted to meet her really bad again. And I think it's because of how she treated him last time, and he remembered that. So, it goes a long way.
That's why I was so mad in London that day that we were walking around all day, and then we got back to the room, and I looked on social media, and Ashley had, like, all the same pictures that we had. And it was like, oh my god, we must have, like, been running circles around each other. Like, I wish we had run into her, you know, on the streets of London. Like, that would have been awesome.
Didn't she have some photos at, like, Westminster Abbey?
Yes!
Like,
yeah!
Yeah, and, like, right around, it looked like right around the time we were there. Yeah.
Right, and it was like, it was that store. Remember that little store that we went into? And yep. it had all the inauguration. Is that what it is? Inauguration? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, but like it had all the King Charles stuff because that was coming up in May. And like she took a picture like in front of that store. And I'm like, we were just there. Like we must have like, you know, like we were like two. We were like, you know, it was like in Return of the Jedi when the ship and it's like right there at the Death Star and Anakin can feel Luke's presence. It's like we were right there with Ashley Eckstein and we could have gotten her for an interview for Jawa Jabber. But oh, well, that's this year. We're going to do that at one of these conventions. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. But yeah, did you meet any other Star Wars people at WonderCon?
We did. We met some. You mean at MegaCon? Because I know.
MegaCon.
MegaCon, yeah.
Yes.
But for a second, I thought you said AwesomeCon. I was like, you're just getting excited for what's next. But
I am.
No.
And that's our quick next segment also. But yeah, I want to hear about the Star Wars people you met.
Yeah, so there was a couple more that we got to meet that were really, really great interactions. And I think it's important to note that like two of them, like Iman Esfandi and Diana Lee Inosano, like, They are amazing to meet. And the set, you know, the thing is like now is the time to meet them. So I would implore anybody listening, like if you get a chance to meet either of those two or other Ahsoka cast members, like their lines, unfortunately, weren't as long as I kind of thought they might be, which I mean, made it, I guess, nicer not having to wait, but I just, you know, I hope they get more love and more people to see them. And maybe they did in other times of the day because we saw them both early in the morning. But they were just awesome. Like, you know, Iman is just so engaging and friendly, and you can tell he's a huge fan. There's going to be no... I mean, I can't see him changing because he seems like a great guy. But, like, you know, those are the kind of guests that are really... or celebrities that are really... really, really special to meet. And you know, I asked him to sign her items however he wanted, and he like knocked him out of the park, just adding really funny little like quotes that were perfect for the scenes and little funny tidbits like character name of Jabba the aka Jabba the Hutt, or you know, the Emperor's nephew. Which
he's really
is
good about that. Like yeah. he knows exactly what quote to put on your piece. I love it.
That's yeah. amazing. Yeah,
and he's a fan cool. of, he's obviously a fan of Rebels. So like, and you can tell that.
Right.
So it's makes it even I think more heartwarming. But like Diana is so incredible too. And Kyle, you've met both of them, so you can chime in too. Mm-hmm. But like Diana, when she turned around and saw Lincoln, and we had met her 2 years, like it actually was 2 years ago because it was when we met Hayden at C2E2. It would have been exactly 2 years ago. She turned around and saw Lincoln, and she's like, Lincoln! And she got, you know, this huge smile and just got so excited, and she remembered him by name 2 years later. It was pretty...
That
was pretty special.
That is really cool.
And she
wanted
a photo with
him. It's got to be cool
for Lincoln, too. That was a great interaction. And yeah. What was your experience meeting him, Kyle? I know you enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I met Morgan twice. I went through a line with Dan when we were in L.A., and then I met her at New York Comic Con, I think, in October.
Yeah, because that's when I'm sure she's just, was New York.
She's so genuine. We just talked about like witch lore, and she wrote something about Dathomir on my, I think she put like long live Dathomir or something like that on my poster. But they're both so genuine, and I mean, Iman, I must have talked to him for a solid 10 minutes. It was just a great conversation, and talk about filmmaking, and I brought up Min-Kyu, who's the stunt coordinator for Ahsoka, and he talked about how she let him do a lot of his own stuff, but wouldn't let Vanessa and wouldn't let Natasha and Matt was talking about like a celebrity remembering then 2 years later made me think of Vanessa Marshall from Rebels. But Iman was talking about how he like Natasha and the other stars weren't really allowed to do a lot of their own stunts because Ming didn't trust them, but she trusted him. So that kind of stuff was really like something I'll never forget. So Ahsoka couldn't have picked better cast members, I think.
Yeah, that's amazing. I remember meeting Diana at a New York Comic Con, and she complimented my Roosevelt Ahsoka shirt and whatever. And she was just like you guys said, you hit it out of the park. Like, she's just so genuine, and she just wanted to be there, and she loved meeting everybody. And yeah, I think she's a great ambassador for Star Wars. And I know she's like kind of dead now, but I hope she can still do something in Star Wars, like maybe we'll see a flashback or something, or maybe even a brand new character. Maybe there's a twin Dathomir sister or something. I don't know.
So I'm trying to remember, did her body get left on Peridia?
I think so.
Okay. They didn't.
I'm pretty sure.
I was going to say, if it was headed back on, on Star Destroyer, they could resurrect her on Dathomir, but.
Right, because the Star Destroyer took off, remember? Because Sabine pushed Ezra. And
That's right.
And she was Ahsoka. So.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Right.
Well, darn. She'll have to get resurrected somehow else, I guess.
I know. I hope so, because that'd be awesome.
But there's one last... I'm trying to think. Yeah, so we met Ashley Eckstein, and I think we met Gina Carano, and she was very nice and lovely. And then we met... the one I really enjoyed too was Alan Tudyk. That was because Lincoln was super excited to meet him because he's voiced. I can't remember what the exact thing is, like if it's every Disney 2012 or every Disney and Pixar, but he's voiced
been a lot of Disney voices, yes.
Yep, so he's Hey, the rooster or chicken or whatever in Moana. Uh-huh. He's my favorite,
my spirit animal.
He's
my spirit animal.
The Duke of, is it Duke Weaseltown?
Wesselton.
And Frozen.
Weaseltown, yes.
And then there's a few other... he's the goat in Wish.
Right.
And then there was a couple other ones that I can't remember. But it was awesome because Lincoln, of course, loved that. He's huge into voice actors, and he got to meet a bunch of other voice actors there. And it was the same experience with all of them where he was saying all their lines to them, and they thought it was hilarious. And
that's awesome.
It was the same with Alan Tudyk. Like, Lincoln's there, like, just going through all of his characters' line, like saying a bunch of funny sayings, and I have no idea what he's talking about because I don't remember any of this stuff. And Alan Tudyk's just sitting there, like giggling and laughing, and just getting such a huge kick out of it. And I don't remember if it was him or Billy West, but one of them were like, "Holy cow, dude! I hope you don't put me out of give me a little while before you put me out of a job."
Aww, that's awesome.
It was pretty cool. Like Alan Tudyk, I met him once before, and he was great then too. But he's probably one of the better people to meet. Like, just a genuine, down to earth dude.
He's on my list to meet. I've loved him for a long time, even before he was involved with Star Wars and Disney. He did a show called Firefly, which was made by Joss Whedon, the guy that did Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and that was such a really good show, and I really liked it. And, I've wanted to meet him for a while, and of course he's K2SO, and
he was in
done a couple other Star Wars voices, too, like, randomly. Yeah. Like little
my
aliens
first
and
time
stuff.
I remember seeing him was in A Knight's Tale, but then obviously he's is it Steve the pirate?
I can't
remember his actual name.
I think so.
A Dodgeball.
Oh my god!
That one was great.
Such a good movie. Well, he's not going to be at Awesome Con, right?
No.
Okay.
I
was going
to
say.
Yeah, he hasn't been announced.
We'll have to add him to our list because our next kind of Jawa Jabber adventure in the Sandcrawler, if we want to call it. God, that sounded cheesy as I said it out loud. I'm sorry. But the three of us are actually going to be in the same area for once, and we're going to Awesome Con.
We are?
Yeah, man. It's great, right?
When?
We're going next month. it's so cool. We're actually going to, and it's not Celebration, and it's not... You know, it's something we've talked about doing, and we've never really managed to do it. I know, Kyle, me and you got together at New York Comic Con in October.
I was supposed to go, I know.
I know. I wasn't even going to say that, but, you just outed yourself, so good job, Matt. And then, Matt, you and me went to Disney last January, we've had, some little adventures here and there, but, the majority of the Loth Pack is going to be together for, Awesome Con in DC, and I'm really excited for that because, I have a duo photo op with Hayden and Rosario, which I already have the space on my wall. I know exactly where it's going to go. So that is a feat in itself. So now I just have to plan what I'm going to wear for that. And then a solo photo with Rosario to make up for London, because for some unknown reason, I don't know if it was because of the duo autograph and I was just like, oh, I've spent so much money. I need to not, get anything. But for some reason I didn't get Rosario in London, and it is the one thing that I regret. I don't know why. You did, and Kyle did, and Matt, you got 80 autographs of hers, and you spent half the convention talking to Rosario, so I don't know why I didn't do that, but for some reason I didn't, so I'm making up for it at Awesome Con in DC. And from what I hear, it's a smaller convention, so
yeah, for sure.
Hopefully, that'll be good for us, and, we'll be able to get some FaceTime. I also have an autograph with my main man, Hayden, because I want to show him the work of art that is permanently on my left arm, which, of course, is him. So hoping he geeks out and he likes it. I've seen lots of videos of him reacting positively to Star Wars tattoos, some of which I was not impressed with, so I have high hopes that, he really likes it, and I'm sure that'll be another memorable interaction to add to my list of Hayden interactions.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm really excited to be there with you for that, and to get to see that, because that'll be really cool.
And Lincoln's gonna be there, and I'm very excited. Like I said, any time with you guys is fantastic. But we throw a little Star Wars in there, and it's even better.
I'm curious to see if he'll, because I specifically told Lincoln to tell. Well, he told him when he saw him for his autograph, and he says he told him when he walked up to him for his photo op. He said when he walked. He had the duo photo op with Ewan and Hayden, and he walked up and he said hello there to both of them, and then he said he told Hayden I'll see you at Awesome Con, and so he told him twice.
Awesome.
So I'm hoping Ewan or Hayden will remember him.
Well.
So we'll see. Yeah,
I was gonna say Matt, that is some gold star parenting right there. You taught him very well.
Yeah,
that's.
It should be a fun trip through the auto line for all of us. So I can't wait to experience that with you guys. But
And we get to do it together. So that's even cooler. In my head. I think that's even cooler. Because
I'm curious
we get to share
too, to see. I'm curious, too, to see if Rosario remembers Kyle and I. And maybe Lincoln, too. But Cal and I went out of line together multiple times last year, and the second time she remembered, like, I don't remember what she said, Cal, something like, nice to see you guys again, or something like that.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, that was that's permanently ingrained in my brain.
Yeah, she said it with like this sly little smile, like it was.
Yeah, she did.
It was funny.
It definitely doesn't keep.
Well, yeah, because Kyle, you have the picture with her, and she's like pointing at your tattoo, right?
Oh no, she's more than pointing. She's
admiring. She's admiring your right. She's admiring your Ahsoka tattoo. Yeah. Yeah, we're the tattoo crew. We all have Star Wars tattoos.
We do. I might have to bust. Mine's not as exciting, but I might have to bust it out anyways, I guess, just so I feel included.
Yeah, but what does yours say again? I know it's an Arabesh. What does it say again? Is it "May the Force be with you"?
Well, yeah. What else would I get tattooed to myself in Arabesh?
I mean, I don't know. Like,
yeah, no,
I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I went with the, the saying. So.
Right. Hey, that saying made it onto a Super Bowl commercial. So
never tell me the odds. Is that the saying?
Ooh, that would be a good.
That would be a good one too. That would probably have been number two.
That'd be a great one.
No, wait, hold on. I know what it is. I think he's a she, and I think she's a changeling.
There it is. That's going to be my back tattoo. Kenny, I hope you're listening because I want that across my back. I think he's
this
a she.
Really
I think
funny
she's
episode
a
of Jawa Jabber.
I love it. It's amazing. It's fantastic. Oh, and hopefully at Awesome Con, we're going to get to meet one of our listeners. His name is Doug. Hi, Doug. And he's a big fan of us, and he's going to be at Awesome Con also, so we're hoping to run into him. And maybe some other listeners, if you guys are going to be in the D.C. area, reach out to us and let us know. We can, one more question before we finish up. We're bringing lightsabers, right?
We can. I didn't
like,
play on
can,
it.
Can you bring like, it like, up? Can you bring an extra one for me? Because I don't think I'm going to be able to get one on my flight.
All right. Well, I don't have like a, like I only have the one good one, like the NeoPixel or whatever. But yeah. Okay. I mean, I can bring you one. Yeah. If you want a picture or something.
Just because like we're only coming for the weekend. So bring like a backpack and maybe a carry on. And the last time I tried to travel with the lightsaber on a plane, they made me put it in the check bag because they said I could use it as a blunt weapon.
Now, see, oh my gosh. I can't. That's terrible because, like, I go to Philadelphia Airport and, no offense, Philadelphia, but, like, you're high crime. And they let me walk right onto the plane with my blunt lightsaber and, whatever. So I guess they think it's a toy.
I think maybe the problem was I had it, the tube, like the blade tube, detached from the hilt. So it was just the hilt, which is all machine metal. And it's heavy.
Right,
probably 10 inches longish. And you could use it probably as a blunt striking weapon, possibly.
I had
a Bose Bluetooth speaker also in my backpack that's about at least 6 to 8 inches long, like the size of a brick, and that was okay. So they're telling me that the lightsaber handle would be a weapon, but the brick of a speaker isn't. Like, I don't know. I didn't want to lose that though too, so I didn't say anything.
That's fair.
So yeah, I'm probably not going to bring one.
Matt, I just want you to know I had to mute myself because I could have said that's what she said about 15 times.
Oh my God, I was too!
In the span of 15 seconds.
I was just about to text you that.
You were
begging for it. I was just about to text you that. Oh my God.
You should have just given it. You should have just given it to me.
We should have just...
God, it's so easy, I swear.
Oh my God, I love it.
Anyway,
that's what I'm here for.
Well, on that note, I think that's going to wrap up our episode. yeah, I mean, we'll see you guys at AwesomeCon. We're going to have a lot more episodes coming your way. Like, I know I've been promising this for about 6 months, but we are going to get on a more normalized schedule. I promise this. I am going to will it into existence like I have so many things in the past. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of Jawa Jabber. Please reach out to us on our socials. Let us know what you want to hear us talk about, or, you know, if you want us to just get on here for an hour and kind of laugh and talk about our, you know, experiences, and that's what she said, and all that kind of fun stuff that Matt sets himself up for, then, you know, we're good to go. But,
Really quick. Jawa Jabber Pod on Instagram and Jabbering Jawas on Facebook.
Yes, and do you have the Twitter up and running, or the X, or whatever
people, it's called? People still use that?
Oh, that's right. No, we don't use Twitter anymore. I forgot. Okay. Yeah, see, I'm old. Remember, guys, I'm behind on the times. So, yeah, I mean, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Jawa Jabber. Thank you, my bro hosts, for coming on and having a good time tonight. For Kynobi, Matt the Radar Technician, Dennis the Phantom Menace, I am your Supreme Leader, David Wren. Thank you very much for listening, and may the Force be with you. Always.